The views and opinions of the host and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 18th of December, 2023, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It is time for our year-end review 2023. I'm excited. I'm a bit breathless, actually, because I got plenty of stories on the list to choose from for the top story of the year. Mr. Newry is joining me this morning for the review. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning. I'm excited about your review. And like I say, we plan to extend it to the next hour too. Just going over the top stories, the most interesting topics we talked about beforehand. And seeing where we stand now, did things change? Is it still a concern? Should we be up in arms? Should we put this back on a different front burner to say, let's talk about this again? Mm-hmm. So it's good to have these type of reviews.
All right. So let's get the show started with our Sand Dollar live reads. We're giving away Sand Dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday you can be a winner. Another live read from Sand Dollar Adoption Unit. Sand Dollar Holiday Rebates is here. Sand Dollar Holiday Rebates return. Get up to $100 back this holiday season when you spend Sand Dollars, the digital Bahamian dollar, at selected merchants. If you're in Nassau, you can present your Sand Dollar enabled digital wallet and receipts to Team Sand Dollar at the Sand Dollar rebate booth located inside Omni at the mall at Marathon. Each receipt must have a total of $50 or more. Additional rules and restrictions may apply. Visit sanddollar.bs/merchant list for a list of merchants. Well, before we get the show started, I have to say this one thing, Mr. Newry. BPL linesmen are the best. BPL linesmen are the best. I want to send a shout out to the BPL linesmen teams that were working all throughout Hurricane. What we can call this hurricane, Mr. Newry?
Hurricane Burna Boy.
I was about to say Hurricane Burna. The staff worked consistently through the gale storm. I think that's what they call it. We had a gale watch. It was very heavy in some areas where I lived. It was like a Category 1 hurricane, Mr. Newry. And we had a disruption in our service. The team were at it. They were working in the rain. We say thank you very much to the BPL staff and linesmen in particular that put their lives on the line to ensure that we have access to electricity. For some of us, for many of us, it is a necessity, a matter of survival. And then for some of us, we just don't want our house burn up. And so we say thank you, thank you, thank you. I got a text here. Give me a second. I think I got a text. When I get to the immigration section, text, we get to that. So Mr. Newry, year-end review 2023. Here are the categories. Bahamian of the year. Most influential person in the Bahamas. Because the most influential person in the Bahamas may not be a Bahamian. We put that out there. Then Bahamian with largest global impact. definitely a category. I want to put government successes and failures, but we'll see how we get there. And then what to expect for 2024. Today, we're looking at top story of the year. There's lots of stories in today's paper, but I want to start with what I have here. Keith Bell and the missing Chinese migrant workers. That's the first story on the top of my list.
That was explained, though. It's like, why you keep on borrowing Minister Keith Bell?
What was explained?
That it was just miscommunication.
What part of it was miscommunication?
The part when he's communicating it and
how. I mean, I get that. I would like to accede to that point. The part where they was communicating, there was a miscommunication.
Yes.
I get that, but I still think that this story is worthy of note. And I, as a citizen, would, if I had an opportunity to, demand a final report on the matter. I don't think that we have.
The Prime Minister ordered a report. And he has a new minister there who's doing a comprehensive report on what needs to be adjusted.
No, I'm not worried about what needs to be adjusted in this moment. I want to know what actually happened. I want to know that they have somewhere documented the names and the identity documents documented of those people. It's one thing to tell me you know who they are.
Yeah.
But I need you to show me that you know who they are. That's a basic principle in law. It's not enough to just say the justice has been done. We must see the justice has been done. Bang. I still think that's a major story, and I'm going to tell you why. Because trafficking in persons is still a major issue in the globe.
But they came by plane. They weren't trafficked.
I mean, they didn't come by car to the Bahamas, so I appreciate what you're saying, but trafficking is moving people against their will or without their consent or without their knowledge of what's actually happening, right?
These men had visas.
I don't know that they had visas.
But immigration knows.
Immigration needs to show us that.
But that's not your business, though.
And certainly it is my business.
But do you want to see, the visa for everybody?
Not only is it my business because I'm a citizen, but it's my business because the Bahamas has invested millions of dollars in anti-trafficking in persons work. And every year they come to me and they tell me that trafficking in persons is my business. And in fact, the best solution or the most effective strategy to eradicating trafficking in persons is to make every citizen aware of their role in combating trafficking and devise systems in which they can contribute to your efforts to eradicating it by sharing information when necessary. In fact, they told me that it's my business. That's why it's important to me.
And so you want to update from immigration?
I don't want to update. I want a formalized report to be tabled in the House of Assembly and to be gazetted.
Any government official asked for it?
I'm not sure. I don't think so.
So it's not an issue?
I mean, it isn't an issue to them. But it is an issue to the people who have been tasked with taking up their responsibility as citizens. Eradicating trafficking in persons is everybody's business.
Okay.
That's why I throw that on the list.
Might have to call the police.
I mean, hopefully they already did.
Yeah.
But I don't know, and that's the problem. Second story. The national debt, the National Investment Fund, and a debt for nature swap.
And I know we analyze this, right? We do an interrogation of this. I'm still betwixt and between how we move away to an investment fund instead of a sovereign wealth fund. I think that needs to be explained because I'm not sure if Bahamians are satisfied with what it is now that we have.
I mean, the only reason we were given for the switch from the sovereign wealth fund model to the national investment fund model is the IMF recommended it as a more suitable model for our development. That's it. That's the only reason. That's all the information they shared as well.
And did they explain what does debt, what do you call it?
A debt for
nature swap means?
No, they haven't explained it. I'm very concerned about that. See, because I own the nature. As a citizen, I should have equal and equitable access to both national and natural resources. Mm. My question is, who decided that we were going to swap our nature for their debt? It is debt that the state has accrued. I didn't accrue it. They accrued it with poor management, poor decision making, a lack of enforcement, a lack of accountability. Why are we swapping nature for debt? Are you swapping nature for debt? What is the mechanism that will cause you, is the mechanism that will cause you to assess and moderate your operational practices in a country where we ascribe that God created all the nature and it's boundless, right? He could create as much of it as he wants. And the suggestion that it's available to us to trade off for the debt accrued by successive governments and a lack of performance.
Is it has anything to do with giving up property, land?
I'm almost certain that it does. I will argue with you that those individuals who have been waiting for 20 to 30 years, not to get Crown land approved, you know, but to get the actual documentation required to be able to do anything with the Crown land, that they have been put in that position because for the last 20 to 30 years, the government has been toying around with this model.
So this issue is in the Office of the Prime Minister. So we may need to have a representative from the Office of the Prime Minister to explain exactly what this debt to nature swap means. Is it giving up Bohemian land?
They told us they're going to take the Bohemian land and put it in investment funds to be managed by money managers in an attempt to generate income or revenue from it.
But that's not necessarily debt to nature swap, though. That's what they're using to populate monetarily the investment fund. That the Crown land was going to be used as collateral.
So what happens if you default?
Which means default?
What happens to the collateral if you default?
The collateral has value. They're trying to valueize.
What happens? So you use the term collateral, right? Mm-hmm. That's like we talk in loan talk now. I'm getting a loan from the bank. I put this piece of property up as collateral. I don't satisfy the terms of the loan.
Perhaps collateral
I lose
is the wrong,
the land.
Wrong term.
But perhaps it's the right term, and that's what I'm concerned about.
It might be monetarized. The idea is removing the sale of Crown land from the Office of the Prime Minister.
So we monetize it?
Yes.
For whose benefit?
For an investment fund benefit, which would be back to developing the Bahamas. True.
So you're going to take the land that I want to live on and develop communities with, and you're going to develop it, and then you're going to tell me what I can and can't do with it if I have access to it. Mm. What if in your attempt to monetize it, you put it in a fund that essentially restricts access to it by Bahamians? What happens if you use it as collateral on a loan or in a mechanism to generate more funds and you don't satisfy your terms and your obligations in that mechanism? What happens to the land? See, I'm the type of person, you could come and lease any island you want in the Bahamas. You could even say you bought it. You could even tell the other people you own it. You could go to banks and tell them what you want. But you can't pick it up and take it with you.
And that's something where the former Prime Minister Hubert Ingraham said, the land can't move. So I hear you about the word collateral, and I'm sure we're using the wrong term, and monetarized might be the better term for it. And the monetarization of the land is for us to populate the investment fund that we can use that money to invest in the Bahamas. Now,
but how do you derive value from the land how do you derive value from the land and not interfere or disturb the normal or natural use or practice on that land?
And I hear you. I just don't think it's going to be used as that. I'm thinking that instead of it being a private sale, where that money goes into the treasury or what's not, the money now goes directly to the fund.
Right.
And that fund finances everything else.
Pause. What if, we have this thing in law. A law can be discriminatory in nature or in effect, right? What if the practice is not discriminatory in nature, but in effect, it turns out that it is discriminatory?
And I hear your concern, but it's not for the individual to be discriminated. No, again, it's going to be a fund.
Right. So I can stick a pin.
To be used for the development of the country. It just could be used for environmental development.
So at what point have we seen any legislation that says that this revenue derived from the funds, right, the NIFA funds, will be used for development? I think the Prime Minister very clearly and honestly told us what he's going to use that money for, to pay down on the debt that they have generated over decades. I am very concerned about that. Lots of Bahamians are concerned about that. Why are we concerned about that? Everybody wants to pay down the debt, but there are no checks and balances. There's no certainty that you're even paying down the debt. We have, differing messages, almost contradictory messages coming from different camps about what's actually happening, right? With the money, with the assessment of the economy and the debt. I would be okay with a debt for nature swap if I was certain that you were actually not just going to pay down the debt, but you were going to use the money to improve systems to eradicate the constant piling up of debt. You're not fixing anything. Why are you using my resources? See, here's what natural resources are. I don't need to have money to survive. I need a place to live. I need to be able to eat. I need to be able to take care of my hygiene. None of those things necessarily require money. I should be able to go off-grid in my country and develop the system, get my own solar generator, set up my own water pumping and purification system on land that I own or have access to through generational property. I should be able to do all of that. I should have equal and equitable access to national and natural resources, even. And I should never, ever be in competition with my government.
And I hear you, though. I still think we're mixing up the narrative. The idea is the property, the Crown land, would be available to all to purchase, just like how it is now. However, the proceeds of the sale, the valuation of the sale, goes into the investment fund.
That sounds like what it should be on paper. But as soon as, first of all, we know historically that there are people who have been waiting 20 to 30 years to receive the documentation of approval, not to be approved. That in and of itself is another problem. But to understand that you were approved 20 or 30 years ago, and you still cannot secure those documents, and the Prime Minister's talking about a debt for nature swap, that's a big one for me, Mr. Newry. That's a big one for me.
We'll continue to talk about it in the new year.
Yeah, man. I got a text here. The texter is sharing a story. I want to say an eyewitness account. They're saying that they observed last night an immigration raid. They said the individuals entered the establishment, did not identify themselves. They went to a few persons they assumed to be migrants, asked them for identification. However, there were about 20 plus patrons there, and they did not ask us anything. I feel like this is the reason why we, the public, have to pay so much monies back in lawsuits. I'm glad I read it, because just last week, in the stories we read about the report from the working group on arbitrary detention from the UN, one of the concerns that they raised was about profiling of migrants. Right? One of the issues they raised was about the profiling of migrants. What the texter describes is one of the concerns highlighted in that report. I just want to throw that out there.
And
why we need to pay more attention to immigration.
I see we have a caller here, Eric.
Yeah, let's go to the caller. Good morning, caller. Still there? Hey, good morning.
Yes, in reference to Crown Land, I hope in 2024, I'd like to see more Bahamians taking advantage of having access to Crown Land. How can we find a way collectively to get access to Crown Land? Because I believe if a family could access Crown Land and build a small home off the grid, you know, and they could do their own farming, and then they could sell some of the produce, which will be organic, I think that would take a lot of burden off the government and the society of a whole. Could you imagine having your children living on the farm away from the city and all of this chaos, right? But what I would also like to see is Bahamian coming to the place of understanding that the government does not have all the answers, so we're going to have to be more proactive taking the government to task and allowing us as a Bahamian collectively to do some things on our own, because the government continue to tax us with burden and burden of taxes, right? But yet they're not really solving the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot continue to trust the government and their effort to solve things. I believe collectively we as Bahamian can do this by first getting access to some Crown Land, do it the right way, do some farming, put our children on these Crown Land, teach them how to farm and the value of nature. And I think we will have a better society moving forward in 2024.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. I got a quick text, and then we're going to change tracks, Mr. Nuri. Mm-hmm. Text says, I'm very concerned about how they say they will use the funds. Reason being, when VAT was proposed, we were told that the funds from VAT will go to the national debt. From then to now, our debt has since almost doubled.
That's a good point.
I just say it. Thank you.
Texter.
I see that's we got another call. Do we have another call?
VAT's supposed to be paying down our debt. That's why we changed it, right?
Exactly.
And we see that we're still short money. We're trying to find new ways on how the government can collect more taxes to pay down on the debt.
Absolutely.
So VAT did not work.
We
collected more money.
Right, but whatever the policy or strategy was when it was first applied, it is not working. And we could see it as it's been adjusted. Good morning, caller.
Well, good morning, Aaron and CA.
Good morning.
Morning.
Appreciate the last caller and very timely subject. I think you guys should expand on it in short order, maybe in the new year. I'm just getting off the phone with a political individual, and he told me that it was for the deficit. It wasn't for the debt. Speaking to the VAT, it was to pay on the deficit, not the debt. And now, I specifically remember calling the New Zealand expert under, I think it was Mr. Christie's tenure, and he said that we had all kind of tax in the Bahamas, and that was to run the country. You know, duty, licenses of your car and your boat and whatever else. And he said, we are going to add this extra little VAT, as I recall, to put towards the national debt. Now, how much have we collected? I'm hearing, I'm being told, and anybody can call in because, you know, you're one of the best shows and it's an open forum. Maybe some financial minister, past or present, can call and tell us that we've collected, what, $10 billion, $12 billion in VAT? How much? Because if we've collected $12 billion, and our debt is $12 billion, we should have no debt, therefore no VAT.
Yep.
One of the few countries in the world that could have paid off their debt in such a short term. Once again, showing what I've always said, that we're extremely wealthy. So my question is, how much VAT was collected and where did it go? And hopefully it didn't go to anything other. And I'll leave you with this part, Crown Land. I don't want to talk about any individual or any political movement. I want to talk about the 3 million acres of Crown Land that I believe Mr. McCartney said when he was running. 3 million acres, and there's a few hundred thousand Bahamians. We could give every Bahamian an acre of land. They could build a two-code house on the land, could they not? They could farm on the land, providing countless that's countless jobs, Aaron, like you and myself and others know how to grow something, to mm-hmm. teach people in schools how to grow on their property. And for those who don't want to grow, on an acre of land, you could put up four nice two-code cottages, and three could be for tourism.
And one for you to live in and manage the property.
Aaron, now you're on to something. That's $300 a day for a Bahamian.
Yeah, man, Graham, thank you.
Yeah, have a good one.
Yeah, man, thank you very much.
I just want to add that the government has made available Crown land for Airbnb. In fact, all you had to do was apply. You get the whole land free. Acre of land and just a business plan to build whatever cottage, and it's there.
But where's the land? What's the state of the infrastructure? What's the timeline for infrastructural development? How do I, at the beginning of my investment, project 10 years into the future without those details?
And that's a different question.
I got you.
And I only assume that the infrastructure is already in. Because it's Airbnb. I only consume that.
Right.
That's part of it.
We'd assume that. I good with that. Thank you much, much, much. Okay, so let me go through the list. Mm-hmm. I have a list of 16 in total. We've only been through two so far. When I say in total, it's just in total for today. They're just stories and stories that we should assess. And some of these titles are a combination of multiple stories in the same subject matter, the same policy issue, or the same ministry. So here we go. Number three on the list is Adelaide Pines becomes the Windsor Lakes Project. And people may think that's not a big deal, but Adelaide Pines was a development bordering, abutting, coming up to too close for comfort, for my comfortability, Liberated African Way. Liberated African Way was the road, was the name of the road at the southernmost tip of Adelaide Road, the last the last turn off on Adelaide Road, you turn right, you turn to the west. That was Liberated African Way. That whole area of land was granted to liberated Africans after the enslavement ended. It was recently changed to Palm Beach Drive, and then all of a sudden we saw popping up the Adelaide Pines community. Let's development. Let's stick a pin. Good morning, caller.
Equality to this dark universe.
Good morning, yes. Sir. Blessings.
Much the same to you. We need justice, law, and order in this country. But my main reason for calling, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I've noticed on several occasions, right?
Yes.
Y'all were speculating, right?
Yeah.
And that's not good radio. The thing is, if I own a piece of property, mm-hmm. or if you're going to give me a piece of property,
mm-hmm.
it's not your prerogative to tell me what you want me to build on it. It's what I want to do with it. I got sense enough to know what I need and what I want, and I don't need anybody, including government, to tell me what I should build on a piece of property if the property already belongs to me,
mm-hmm.
because it's in an escrow for me or for the Bahamian people, and you're going to turn around and tell me what to do. That's not your business. Just give me mine and the documents for it, and I decide what to do with it.
Well, Bremen, it's a good thing I'm not the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, because I have strict, narrow, rigid regulations about what types of development can take place on Andros Island.
Yeah, but the thing is, you don't hold me hostage. If I'm from Andros, my neighbor's sling buried in Andros,
yeah,
and I got a piece of property in Andros, or you give me a piece of property in Andros.
Raymond, you think we should have an oil refinery in Andros?
Oil refinery? No.
I think that there are certain types of development that should be restricted in certain environmental landscapes, right?
Yeah, but the people got to be educated to that.
I got you.
See? Yeah. They need to know what is going to destroy the greenery. They need to know what's going to destroy the soil.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
The people need to be educated. And when they are being educated, then give me, and I decide what I want to do.
Bremen, okay? I want to thank you very, very much.
You're welcome.
You made an absolutely wonderful contribution. Mr. Newry, you know what it made me think of as well?
Mm-hmm.
The NIFA the National Investment Fund Act and all of the policies that fall within it, right? Mm-hmm. What perhaps needs to come with that is that we need land use reform. We need a renewed land registry. But we need a new category of land to be granted, right? Agricultural leases have restrictions on them. You cannot build a permanent residential structure on the land. Now, even that needs to be reviewed because allowing staff to live on the property can reduce agricultural theft greatly, right? Mm-hmm. So that's an area that could be revised. Generational property, it can't be sold, right? You have to be a part of that generational line. You got to prove it to get generational property. Can't be sold, strict restrictions.
That's a lot of constraints you're trying to put back on.
No. I'm saying these are the things that exist.
Okay.
Crown land also has particular types of restrictions. Do we need another type of land grant that allows the land user greater freedom and choice on the land like Bremen is suggesting? And should that be a formal part of this NIFA conversation? Since they said they're going to identify land whose value can be extracted for the purpose of development, pushing the country for monetized for the purpose of development. So obviously, accompanying that, we need a total land reform discussion.
And we are having that discussion.
Where's that? Where?
Maybe not quick enough that we should have it.
But where is it happening?
We have been having the talk about land reform and then land registration for a while. I mean, that was a big thing during the campaign, and they worked.
Whose campaign? You mean the by-election?
No, the PLP's campaign. They talk about land reform and land
registration. No, they are talking about it.
Yeah,
but they're talking about it privately in terms of a debt for nature swap, and I want the conversation to be public. But let's go further, Bremen. Thank you for the point you made. I will not belabor this point, Mr. Newry. Let's go back to Adelaide Pines becomes the Windsor Lakes project. Or the Adelaide Pine Project becomes the Windsor Lakes development. I have a problem with this, Mr. Newry. The Adelaide Pines development was touted as a middle to upper middle income earning residential space, right? It has now become a super high-end residential gated community with the lowest lot starting at $195,000, and the largest lot, the largest home, or the lowest cost home starting at something like $825,000.
Now you find out that it's not fuss.
At all. It can't be fuss.
But we'll get taxes from it.
Will we?
Yeah.
Will we know how much taxes we get from it?
But if you sell the land and advance the value at certain.
It gets better. Hold on. It gets better. On the Windsor Lakes development website, the developers indicate that the development itself will offer a program to its residents to be able to rent their homes, and this is my language, Airbnb style. That's not what they said. I said it. It looked like it's Airbnb style. They also invite potential property owners to explore themselves whether they want to on their own.
It's definitely something to be policed. But at this present time, we know that our government is trying to register and organize Airbnb in general. So even if these foreign people, and then put foreign people in quotes, get access to rent their property, they would be responsible to pay tax just like
I'm not worried about tax because I don't ever see the tax. I don't ever get a proper. I never get a proper accounting of the tax.
But that's an entirely different issue.
Next thing they can tell me that the tax is a secret and confidential settlement, and I can't know about it. See, this is a big thing. Mm-hmm. Land that was granted to freed Africans is now being used as a high-end development where foreigners could come in and buy a property, and then Airbnb it, and meet a poor black Bahamian still struggling to figure out how I can move out my car. This is a big problem. Anyway, it's a big story. Let me not say problem, because one man's problem is another man's opportunity. That's the music playing. We're going to go to a break. When we get back from the break, I can run through the last on the list.
Yeah.
Make me run through the list, and then we go back, and you pick the next topic.
No problem.
All right. We'll be right back. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. On the Clock Year-End Review. We're diving into it. We'll be right back.
It will be together this Christmas. Fireside is blazing bright. And
five,
we'll be caroling.
3, 2, 1.
Are you ready to catapult your business into the spotlight? Introducing Guardian Business Boots.
Ignite your success, and it's absolutely free to join.
Did you say free?
Yes. Free Guardian Business Boost is not just a program. It's your ticket to unprecedented visibility and growth. The Guardian Media Group is committed to helping the Bahamas prosper by creating new opportunities for small businesses who are the key drivers of that growth.
How does it work?
It works by first registering your business with the Guardian Business Boost at thenassauguardian.com. Then, each month, Guardian Media will pick and boost 5 businesses with 1 month of free ads across our multiple advertising platforms. The Nassau Guardian newspaper, website, Guardian Radio 96.9, Star 106 Hits, and all social media platforms. Catapult your business into the spotlight with Guardian Business Boost. Sign up for free today at thenassauguardian.com.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns? Where they hiding the drugs? Who shoot who? Who part of which gang? Or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles?
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas. And everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands. Or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Hang all the mistletoes. I'm gonna get to know you better this Christmas. And as we trim the tree, oh, how much fun it will be together this Christmas. Yeah. Hang all the mistletoes, I'm gonna get to know you better this Christmas. And as we trim the trees, oh, how much fun it will be together.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Mr. Newry, the government need to hire the boy singing the song. That boy could sing any song to me. He could tell me anything, buddy. And I believe it. And I'd be glad to believe it. I'd be happy to believe it. Sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you don't say it.
And remember, earlier this year, we had a conversation about the redoing of Bohemian songs.
Yeah, cover the covers.
The covers.
Yeah.
And it's good to hear a Bohemian cover of Christmas music.
Yes.
And a high-quality one where you can say, hey, this could be exported, this could be appreciated on a wider scale.
Man, I see, it's a good thing I'm not the PM of the Bahamas, because if you're in territorial waters, all Bohemian music playing.
What you mean?
If you're a cruise ship.
Like Bohemian rap and Bohemian reggae?
If you're a cruise ship, all Bohemian music playing. Of course it'll be filtered. If it's a cruise ship, it can't be just playing expletive.
Mm-hmm.
It could be seasonal. We could be developing. It's the spring season. It's the summer season.
How can you dictate the people tourism product?
That's the one thing you're questioning, sir? No. We could dictate. They dictate. We dictate. And we just decide what we can dictate about. And this is something that we could easily put on the table. Like RCI gave out £50,000 or £25,000 in Turkey to the, I think, the feeding network, right? And we say to them, thank you. We're not dictating it. We say, look here, thank you. Here's what we could do in exchange. We're going to ensure that when you travel in through the Caribbean, at least the Bahamas, you have seasonal and themed music for your guests. You don't have to play through. Well, I wanted to play through the whole boat all the time, but we could compromise. Mm. They could have nightclubs where they play whatever type of music they want. Mm. But in the common open areas, you playing Bahamian music straight through while you're in Bahamian waters. Mm. We could do covers of all of their songs. Junkanoo theme, summer rake and scrape theme. Mm-hmm. We could do a spring choral theme, right? We could do it, man. But let's get through the list. Text, I can read you. Ooh, we got some more text. I support the protection of Andrus for pure bone fishing and agriculture. Not just that, a bit of forestry, a bit of sustainable forestry harvesting. We could be bird watching, orchid hunting. We could be growing chocolate and vanilla.
And I'm a little concerned about that, Andrus, Aaron, only because Andrus is the fifth largest Caribbean nation. That's a country.
Yes.
Just saving it for this environmental thing.
Sustainable development.
Man, it needs a major hotel there.
And
man.
No.
It needs a major hotel. It needs an industry.
Well, now, pause. I like compromise. A major hotel has the resources, both financial and in network, technical capacity and support, to be able to bring a sustainable development, development to Andrus. But it has to be so strict. It has to be so strict.
I just said it needs a lot of development. Andrus is still sleeping.
It does.
It's not getting the support it needs because people has... made it possible only to be farming in general.
Right. So what we need to employ the Sustainability Research Center at the University of the Bahamas, along with the Wilson Foundation. They just recently had another disbursement of grants. We need a specific project to develop talent to develop that idea of sustainable development in Andrus. You're right. It's too big to sleep. Need to awaken. But it needs to be woken up gently. Like how a mother takes a nice warm cloth and wipes your face in the morning. Not like the set who's just splashed cold water on you.
Yeah,
let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Miss Green, and good morning, Mr. Nui.
Morning. How you do?
Yeah, my mind was snared by this conversation.
Yes, sir.
Because I was mentioning this Debt for Nature swap for a while. Also, something called Ocean's Monopoly that most third world governments haven't taken advantage of, right?
Mm-hmm.
So given that I love your brains, right?
Mm-hmm.
Given that I like the development of that paradigm, it's called Ocean's Monopoly. It's been out for a while. There's no oversight. And so with Debt for Nature swap, I just wanted the people to be aware. All right, there's a book written by a lady called Rosa Corey. It's called Behind the Green Mask, which shows you the farce. Now, what happens is, you're not juxtaposing the voluntary carbon market with the debt for nature swap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, hence with the emergence of the carbon credits scenario,
mm-hmm.
debt for nature swap is not really necessary anymore. So, of course, most of us are naive to the globalist agenda. And so, the debt for nature swap, of course, like everything else, there are advantages and disadvantages. So, what you want to do is you could go. I read this years ago. So, what I did was I was trying to go on Google to access the effects. I remember reading something years ago about how native had Zabi tribes and Bantu tribes, certain tribes in Africa, I can remember, and some of them belonged to the Twa tribe, which the Pygmy of some subsections of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Pygmy is a European name, and so they were displaced
mm-hmm.
as a result of this death for nature swap, and they were disenfranchised from hunting on their original grounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so I became appalled at that. And so this is where these global agendas lead me. So they can't feed me, you see. So what I'm saying is, Ms. Green,
mm-hmm.
this juxtaposes the financial construct because the more land they own, the more carbon credits they're able to trade. So this is why you're not hearing about the voluntary trading carbon market.
Yes,
and
sir.
Also, I wonder if you guys remember the document that Lincoln being told us to read as it relates to the climate change legislation or carbon trading model. I didn't get to read it, but it was something he said you could access to the government platform or whatever, right?
I'll look for
and
it.
So I just want to share this with Green.
Mm-hmm.
The question then becomes about this situation that you initiated, where they changed to the new environment, but they call it
National Investment Fund.
Yeah, the question then becomes, the question then becomes, is this new entity subjected to the same financial legislation as far as rights to the Bahamian people to these things, because in other first world countries, citizens are given something from their sovereign, from their sovereign, from their national resources. But you see, the third world leaders, greed and rapaciousness is the order of the day. Give thanks.
Thank you, 52. Thank you, 52. Again, text here says, Aaron and CA, not to be a Grinch, but I don't like that song. And dear text, I want to say, I don't know who hurt you, but when I hear the Bahamian, you know, when you hear the, what's it, Bahamian affect? When you hear that, and these, it does something to me. You know, in these world classics, these standards, and you hear that Bahamian affect, you know it's a Bahamian. It just does something to me. It makes me feel proud, 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 proud. Okay, here's the rest of the list. We put Adelaide Pines and Windsor Lakes Project on the side. Kirk Cornish, the PM of Abaco and the sharp rise in rape culture. Next story, the West Grand Bahama and Bimini by-election and the disappearing disclosures. I just want you all to know that I'm never going to let it rest. That y'all, not only in Bimini and West Grand Bahama, elected a person who immediately prior to the election was a chief passport officer and listed no savings account and no current account on their declaration form for the election. And those of you that encourage people to vote for him with no clear explanation as to how he could not write that down on the paper. I'm going to remind, the same way I'm going to remind y'all about the Minister of National Security who said a seven-year-old can consent to sex, even though the courts will not recognize it as legal consent. Next story, turn left on red and reckless roadways. Next story, hurricanes SBF and FTX hit the Bahamas. Next story, Berna in postponement. Next story, PMH and the promise of two new state-of-the-art hospitals. Mr. Newry, these people are all over the world telling the world how they can build us two new state-of-the-art hospitals.
I see that. I smile. It ain't gonna be in this 5-year term, though.
It ain't gonna be. Positive, positive, positive. Another story. The New Providence Games. You been to that one, Mr. Newry? You been to any of the New Providence Games?
No, missed that.
I missed it, too. The political class celebrates the Golden Jubilee. Stadium to be repaired by the Chinese government. Another story. Political violence in the PLP and the FNM. Another story, Exuma oil spill and the confidential court sentence. It went before the courts, right? Because we have legislation for that, right? Anyway, another story, BPL fuel charge increase policy. Perhaps one of the biggest stories. The PM said there's something rotten at BPL. Last on the list so far, Starlink Bahamas has entered the chat. I think it's a big story. Mm. Here's another text. Morning, Aaron. I love the way you always think about the cultural aspect of the Bahamas. Wish is very amazing. PM should make you and CA ministers of culture. You two will do an excellent job in that area. Keep up the great job. I will get excited about my government, Mr. Newry, when I see a ministry of a department of decolonization sitting within a ministry of culture.
And you know you have to explain that. Right. Even though we've had this discussion before, but
yeah,
we know we have a listening audience. What do you mean decolonization and what would that ministry do?
So there are several countries in the region who have implemented these, not the Caribbean region, the wider Latin America region. Bolivia is one of those countries. They, within their Ministry of Culture, so they have a, the culture sits alone in its own ministry. And within that ministry, they have like a division, but they call it the Ministry of Decolonization.
No, I understand that.
Right. So, Ministry of Decolonization interrogates the ways that colonial practice, rules, law, and culture impacted indigenous or existing culture and aims to identify the positive and the negative and to extract the negative, to remove it, and to build upon what exists once it's been removed and to develop the country further.
And how would that impact my Casey Award, King's Council? Because you know you can't interrupt that.
Well, I mean, me and you ain't gonna never get one of them. So we could, I mean, let me knock on wood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind being the king's counsel. I just don't have to be a lawyer to do it. I'd be a different type of counsel. Anyway, I don't want to be that type of counsel. The point is this, Mr. Newry. So what?
So what? These are things that is important to the Bohemian psyche. We like foreign awards.
These are things that are important to the political class's psyche. Not necessarily the Bahamian people's psyche.
You think the Bahamian people don't want wants to remove itself from the queen? Or king, I should say now? Because they're not demanding that.
I think that the Bahamian people want to create a better world for themselves and their descendants, and that may require divesting ourselves of... In fact, thank you. Let me put that on the list because the PLP party put it on the list. Thank you, Mr. Newry. Remember, going into convention, the PLP party expressed that.
That's Mr. Mitchell. I'm not sure if that's the PLP party.
Say what?
That's Mr.
Did you and I watch the same convention? You say Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah, that's Mr. Mitchell.
The same Mr. Mitchell PM Davis says is his guy?
Yeah, this is his guy, but that's Mr. Mitchell.
And then, what, 64% of the party jump up and say, that's our guy? We for Fred? We don't care what he's doing, we for Fred?
Yeah
man, so... the discussion about moving to a republic was put on the table formally.
You hear that, but that's it.
I mean, I didn't actually hear anything about what happened at the convention except for the fact that Robin Lines got far more votes than expected.
But she didn't win.
She won. She just didn't win the chairmanship position. Anyway, there's plenty talk. We got 3 minutes left, Mr. Newry. And then on top of all of that, I got some stories here. I want to remind you all that we've had over 8,000 accidents for the year, over 6,300 of them occurring in New Providence. Whoever was calling me, please call back. Reassessing needs is cause of delay of social services food vouchers. Mm-hmm. I mean, I like the explanation. It's no justification. It's almost as if they didn't expect Christmas in December. But I'll be fair, a little fairer. We could say that the untimely passing of the minister...
No.
Caused some disruption within the ministry. We'd say that. We know that the untimely passing of the minister caused some disruption in the ministry. The untimely passing of the minister should not disrupt the show, is what you say after that. We acknowledge that. See, sometimes they forget. They are the public service. They are the king's army. That's what they do. They tend to the business of the state, the crown, the king. You don't take no break when you're in the king's army. You don't have time to feel your feelings when you're in the king's army. You only have time to do your job. And so acknowledging the passing of the minister may have disrupted the operations in the ministry. Social services is one of the most important ministries in the country. And those working there and those who are responsible for managing it understand that people depend on the operation of social services for their survival. Simple. There should never be a disruption in these life-saving and life-sustaining services. Anyway, we got to go to a break. That's the end of my hour, Mr. Newry. Mm-hmm. In your hour, maybe you let me read off a couple more headlines.
Yeah.
And then we get into the stories of the year.
I have one or two stories I want to delve into.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you guys for joining me on the clock with Erin Green, co-hosted by Mr. Newry. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Fireside is blazing bright, and we'll be caroling all through the night. And this Christmas will be a very special Christmas for me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Presents and cards are here. My world is filled with cheer and laughter this Christmas. And as I look around, your eyes, they outshine the town.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.